All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Q&A session with early childhood expert Andrea Russo. My name is Sarah Diamond, and I'm on the Hidden Sparks team. For those of you unfamiliar with Hidden Sparks, our primary focus is supporting yeshivas and day schools in their goal of meeting the diverse needs of students, and we work with over 100 schools. At the same time, we do run a parent webinar program, and we wanted to offer this opportunity to you as an extension of that program. During these difficult times, we wanted you to be able to tap into our resident experts. In terms of protocol, we don't have a particular agenda for our time together this evening, other than for you to be able to share your questions and concerns with Andrea. The session is being recorded for viewing for those that could not be on live. Everyone is muted to reduce background noise, and I encourage you to submit questions via the chat to the whole group or just to me privately, or you can email me at sara@hiddensparks.org. We're very grateful that Andrea is here with us this evening. Andrea Russo taught for 33 years before joining the Hidden Sparks team as a senior coach and facilitator. She initially taught emotionally fragile children with special needs and subsequently served as a teacher trainer for special education. Andrea received a Bank Street Early Childhood Education Award for her innovative curriculum and teaching style and was a certified facilitator for the school's Attune program of All Kinds of Minds. Andrea also works as a part-time consultant in three New York City public schools, where she meets with teachers to assist them with curriculum adaptations and understanding classroom behaviors. So anybody who wants to ask a question, please activate your chat by hovering over the bottom of your screen, and you can start sharing those questions in the chat. But Andrea, I'm gonna start you off with a couple that were submitted actually earlier this week.
Okay.
So the first question we have, Sarah, is from one mom.
Sarah. Yeah. I just want to say hello to everybody.
Oh, good.
Hi, everyone. I hope that I'm looking forward to us talking tonight and sharing ideas. And now I'm going to listen to some questions.
Okay, great. So one mom asked, she has two daughters at home who are now cooped up at home together, and the bickering is really starting to escalate.
Yes.
She's also finding that they're not cooling down as quickly afterwards as they used to. So her question to you was, do you have any strategies to help them think of every day as a fresh new day, mm-hmm. help them to reset their buttons?
Yeah. Yeah. So without knowing what the bickering is about, I think that one of the things that we need to recognize is that the children are feeling as stressed out as we are, that everybody's feeling the unknown, and there's no way to relax that feeling other than to acknowledge that we're all going through it. So I would definitely try, I would suggest to this mom to make sure that they are talking about how this is a tense time for everybody, and that tension comes out in bickering and picking on each other and arguing with each other. And that maybe the two girls need to talk to each other and figure out a way that they can solve their problems without bickering. And one of the things we use in one of the schools I work in is something called a peace path. And the children that are having a conflict with each other face each other. And first one says what is troubling her. The other one says what's troubling her. It's always facilitated by an adult. And then you move on to the next step. Well, when you do this, I get upset. When you do this, I get upset. And then they try to look at the problem step by step until they come up with a plan. But I think ultimately, we all have to help kids understand that we're all feeling tense and we're all feeling worried and there's no real answer right now, and that it's going to come out as bickering. So let's try to keep that in mind. I can't hear you.
That's because I didn't unmute myself.
Oh.
Okay. So everybody who just jumped on, please activate your chat by hovering over the bottom of your screen and share your questions with us in the chat window. Okay, so we have a question from a dad.
Okay.
The dad has a toddler, 2.5 years old. And while the toddler's schedule hasn't changed, the parents are finding that
yes.
the stress level
yes.
has me so much. And their voice is escalating in a way I think that they wished that it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And I guess the child is responding by kind of being even needier, right? And that's building yes. one on the other. So what advice would you have for that parent right now?
I'm wondering if this toddler's parents can figure out a way to make the day fun for them and fun for their toddler. I'm sure that the parents are very concerned about getting their work done and maybe even turning work in, I don't know. But I think that just as usual, when a toddler is of that age, we kind of have to adjust to the toddler rather than the toddler adjusting to us. And I don't think that that's any different, even though the whole world is different right now. So maybe there are ways for the parents to have some lighthearted fun, maybe even use some pictures that show this is mommy time, now it's daddy time, now it's play time, something like that, so that the child knows that there will be time for him or her. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but so that there will be time for him and her. But I also think that mom and dad have to figure out a way to incorporate the fun that a toddler needs to have and the attention that the toddler needs to have. It's hard to explain to a little kid that the whole world is different right now. So I hope that parents are going to eventually, it's only the first or second week of all of this, eventually find ways to really be lighter and consider. One of the things I was reading about before we got on today is how keep in mind that playing is learning, and playing is, and when we play with children, we're also teaching. And so maybe parents can be keeping that in mind while they are trying to accommodate the needs of a toddler.
All right, thank you. Okay, another question from another mom here. She's finding that the school load is mm-hmm. quite significant yep. for the children, yep. But that the kids need time to decompress.
Yes.
And then what can you give the children to look forward to during the day when they're feeling this kind of schoolwork pressure in a way they didn't feel it before?
Right. So I would want to know from this parent, how many hours of school time are the children supposed to spend in their distance learning?
So this is a pre-submitted question, so unfortunately
I see. Okay. So yeah. One of the things that I think does help is to either the night before or the morning of, after the children have gotten up, they've made their beds, they've eaten breakfast, to come up with a schedule. And of course, they'll need to work around the school schedule. But I think that everybody needs to know when they'll have a break, what that break will be like, what fun activities we can include, when is there going to be a snack break or an exercise break, maybe even setting up your living room or your kitchen or wherever you might have room for an area where there could be art materials or maybe a place to do exercise and bouncing and jumping, but to build that into the schedule so the children know that there are built-in breaks and it's not going to be continuously doing the work. One of the things I think parents need to keep in mind too is doing online learning is very different from being in a classroom. In a classroom, you're interacting with people, you're distracted by your peers, you're trying things out, you're moving around. The online teaching is actually much more intense than the teaching that goes on in the classroom. And so I think that's a concept that everybody needs to keep in mind. And I think teachers too are probably loading kids up right now because they're experimenting themselves because they've mostly never done this before. But I would say that a schedule where everybody knows what the breaks will be, maybe even having the children help make the schedule and even deciding on what kind of breaks they'll want so that maybe that's something that they can look forward to and they know that it's not constant learning.
Okay. And we have another question in the chat, a four-year-old little girl who is very sad not to have any play dates, including with her neighbors who she knows are just right next door and ready to go. How do you explain to her why she can't do that without, you know, frightening her and her thinking that everybody is sick?
Yeah, that's a really hard one. I don't think there's really anything, any picture books or anything right now that could really help that. But I do think that saying that right now everybody wants to stay healthy and not get sick, and soon you'll be able to see your friends. Maybe they could, I hope they're able to talk on the phone at least. I don't know if this family has the capacity to do Skype or FaceTime, but to try to figure out using those tools. And maybe the little girl, I think you said, could make a card for her friend, or they could write books to each other, just staple some pages together and write books. Maybe even draw pictures of what she's doing at home and send it to her friend. There could be communication of that type too, but it is going to be hard to explain to a four-year-old. But I think saying we don't want everybody to get sick, because then they won't be able to play later on. They'll have to stay in longer. Maybe, you know, explaining that. But it's a tough one. I'm not going to pretend that I have a real clear answer for that one. But I do think offering ways to be in contact with her friend might help a little bit.
Okay, good. And then I think we had spoken a little bit about, you know, parents needing to work. So while we're all responsible for our own work,
yes,
and then our children are online, and let's say they're attending well to the online class, but that times out at some point. Most schools are ending, you know, by 2 o'clock or so. And then this mom is finding that when that child logs out, they go online to do something else. And I guess it sounds like it's a family where they wouldn't be spending that much screen
time
otherwise. Right. So her question is, how can she manage them and maybe redirect them away from the computer when she's with her own work?
Yeah. So that's been a big concern of mine. And I found a wonderful document that if people want to get in touch with you, there's 100, I don't know if you can see this, but it says it's 100 indoor activities, and it has nothing to do with being online. And having a resource like this, the kids could in the morning choose what they want to do when their online learning is finished, and you could have the materials or whatever you're needing to be ready. Maybe even get it ready the night before. And again, a schedule really does help. So when you are finished, here are your options. And they could choose two or three options to get involved in, rather than just wanting to get back online or just doing things that are not that helpful.
I shared my email in the chat, and we don't have your emails automatically. So anybody who wants this, we're happy to share it out. And any other resources that Andrea mentions, please email me, sarah@hiddensparks.org, at any point, an empty blank email, and we'll send you that list. Okay. Yeah, that's our way for getting back in touch with you.
I don't know what kind of resources the families have at home, but if there are board games or arts and crafts materials, or, you know, I think that all has to be planned out, of course, but the kids need to know what their options are when they're finished with their online learning.
Yes, and one mom just asked if maybe you could write a little children's book very quickly for her to
That's a good idea.
Yes. And I'm just curious, Andrea, what have you been hearing from other parents? What other concerns have been surfacing?
Yeah, so a few of the issues that were the themes of the questions that were asked are similar to what I'm hearing. I've heard a few parents say that there's so much expected of them in regard to the distance learning, that a lot of what the kids are expected to do, the parents have to help out. And that's a real problem. This one mom said, well, I don't really know how they do the math, and how am I supposed to help? So I assume that there are ways for the parents to contact the teachers and to let them know that some of the things that the children are being asked to do are not realistic because the kids are needing more input from an adult who knows about that particular approach. But that's one thing I'm hearing, that the work right now, the work seems way too intense and too much of a mystery for some of the parents. So I'm hoping, I don't know exactly, but I'm hoping that parents have an avenue for getting in touch with the teachers to let them know.
Thank you, Shayna. Shayna just shared out a link with everybody. And again, I can send that out after you if you mm-hmm. can't scribble it down quickly, that someone in the UK just wrote something for children. We haven't seen it, but it definitely sounds like something worth taking a look at.
Uh-huh. I know that one of our Hidden Sparks experts, Rona Novick, she's just recently written a book. I think the title is Why Can't You Stop the Rain? And although it doesn't address something like this exactly, the theme of it is there are certain things that we can't control. And the mommy and the daddy try to comfort her with letting the main character know that everything's okay. We're all in this together. We're going to be there for you. So I don't know if Rona's book has been published yet, but
no, I think it's like in pre-order on Amazon.
Okay, all right, yeah, but that's but I can think about. I mean, I used to have a big library of picture books, so I can see if I can think of any titles that might fit at least. Being in a situation where there's a mystery that we can't really control.
Right. And we had a question from a parent. If a parent, you know, I think one of the concerns, especially with early childhood, are these kind of pre-reading skills now that are not going to be reinforced for a few months with the children. Do you feel like that's something parents have to have in their mind and be working on? Because a lot of the preschool age children don't have a lot of online learning. It's not right. Like the older kids.
Right. I think that if parents keep in mind that they want their children to be exposed to those early skills, but not make it feel like school. So when you're cooking, you could look for letters in the recipe, or you could even work on things like, they don't do this enough in school, but cutting and pasting and tying shoes and buttoning and zippering. I mean, those are important skills that should be covered in the early childhood programs. But I think that if you think about wanting to make learning fun, find ways to talk about numbers, find ways to talk about letters, but not making it feel like you're examining or testing, but more make it, you know, like a mystery or a scavenger hunt. Let's see how many peas we can find, or let's see what the vegetables start with. You know, I certainly think that you want to keep that mindset of kids needing to have learned skills, but not make it feel like it's school in any way.
Okay. And you know, in Hidden Sparks, we're so big about when we see a behavior in a child that's an undesired behavior,
yes,
that there's
yes.
an underlying issue. So I guess give some tips for parents, like if a younger child was having trouble adapting to, you know, where's my babysitter? Why am I not in daycare? Why is everybody home? Why can't you give me the attention you used to give me half a day when my siblings were in school? Mm-hmm. What behaviors might surface so that we can better understand if we see them, like where they're coming from?
Sure. So one of the things we need to remember is behaviors are a symptom of something else. And if kids are feeling the tension of what's going on, or feeling anxious, or wondering why aren't things normal like they always were, they're going to use behaviors that might not look like they're going to use behaviors that are in their own way expressing their own anxiety, but they can't really verbalize. So I think that we have to keep in mind that in Hidden Sparks, we use a phrase, if kids will do well if they can. And if the children are not doing well, there's a good chance that they're carrying the tension, they're carrying the fears, they're carrying the worries and the unknown. So I think that we have to keep in mind when we see children using behaviors that are troubling, that we should first jump to what's going on here, as opposed to even trying to discipline. What's happening here? What could have set this off? Asking yourself questions is probably the best thing to do, rather than making assumptions or judgments about what's going on.
And we spoke a little bit about you know, even with a child with a school schedule, inserting in the breaks, what are those breaks going to look like? For a younger child, again, in early childhood, would we be thinking about setting a schedule with them in the morning, or should we just kind of be playing it by ear?
I mean, I worked with children as young as 3 and a half, and I've always thought that if they can have some input into what's going to be going on and making some decisions about what's going on, that they feel more in control of what's going on. But also there's a nice camaraderie that happens when mommy and daddy or grandma make the schedule with you. So I think it's a little bit of the adult and a little bit of the child, but I think that it really is worth a try. If you have a child that's really confused or not sure how to do this, so you model it for a few days and you say, well, here's when we finish with looking at the letters, or when we're finished playing with numbers, let's think about something you would like to do. And you might offer a couple of ideas until you get into the habit of creating the schedules, and then the child might come up with something on his or her own.
Okay, great. Excellent. And what role do you think, you know, if there's a lot of indoors time now?
Yes.
What role do you think exercise and kind of physical activity should play in the day? And guidelines of, like, you know, how much time should we be encouraging kids to be as physical if we can in a backyard, or just even a walk up and down the street, whatever degree?
Right.
Like, how much of that should we be integrating?
Yeah. So, I came up with another list. I'll be happy to share this. So this is another list of indoor activities. And one of the sections is about exercise. So many schools now are using online programs for what they call brain breaks. And after the students work for maybe 40 minutes or on something, they take a break, and they often use screens, which we want to get away from now, but because they're going to be on the screens a lot. But they do things like dancing to music, or doing jumping jacks, or maybe doing some stretching and yoga type activities. I mean, of course, you need space for this, but I think it is a smart idea to build into the daily schedule when you're going to have these breaks. And the belief is that brain breaks, quote unquote, will energize the kids so that they can get back to work and feel and be able to focus and be more attentive to what they're doing. So I think it should be built into the day.
Excellent. Okay, anybody, I see a few people recently joined on. Again, I'm just going to suggest that you, in the time that we have remaining, shoot your questions into the chat. I'm just going to take a very quick scan here. Okay, now this is an interesting question, and I think it's a question for the kids, but for the adults also.
Okay.
There's just more snacking, noshing.
Yes.
going on, and a lot of times it's not always carrot sticks and celery sticks, right? So is that something, could it be related to anxiety? Should parents just let it go? Should they be redirecting them to those carrot sticks and celery sticks?
I do think that we have to acknowledge that it could be, we don't know for sure, but it could be related to the anxiety and the fear. And eating, of course, we all know is very comforting. One of the things you might think about is maybe making some healthy snacks together. And that's a nice way for everybody to be doing something that's, where everybody's doing something together that's healthy. And also it's could be making things like healthy, like peanut, well, if they can have peanut butter, but some kind of almond butter on celery, you know, make it a little different each time. But also to say that sometimes we grab snacks because we're feeling a little nervous. And I think that that needs to be addressed directly, because in fact, that's probably what's going on. And also, I would schedule it into the day. I wouldn't leave it just, you know, willy-nilly, but I would make a plan for when we're going to have a snack.
Okay, good. You have a question. We as parents kind of need our own self-care.
Yes.
During this period, so we can be there for our children. Anything
yes.
you would recommend that we should be mindful of?
Yes, so certainly be aware of the stress that all of this is placing on parents. The distance learning, having the children home all day, having a new kind of responsibility for the learning that the children are going to be doing, and in essence, have to create a day that kind of flows for the kids and for you. I think that building into the schedule each day should be mommy or daddy time. And at that time, the children could be listening to music, or they could be reading books, or maybe even writing their own books, as something I mentioned before, or coming up with some quiet, independent activities that they could do while mommy takes a rest, or just goes in to have a cup of tea, or maybe even talks to a good friend. But I think that needs to be built in also. And
okay,
hopefully,
one mom specifically asked if she needs a nap in the middle of the day, is it just okay?
I think
we're going to give her the okay, as long as right. The kids are safe.
Yeah. I think she could kind of lean on the couch, and as my mom used to say, and rest her eyes. And so, Okay. Yeah, but I think that if, as long as the time is scheduled and the children know exactly what they should be doing, it should be okay to rest at least.
Okay. Now, interestingly, and this isn't the first time I've seen this question, that there are parents who've prepared all these great activities and they're ready to go. And then the children are being resistant to joining the parent in the activity, even little ones. Maybe they just want to watch something on their iPad or kind of be left alone, even when they're young. What do you think about that?
And that's something I think you need to play by ear. I think, again, it's about everybody feeling overloaded at some point and just needing a break from each other. So if it feels like kids don't want to do an activity, sit down and talk, find out, are you feeling tired? Were you concentrating really hard and now you want to just relax? Try to do some problem solving, but I wouldn't insist that they do activities if they're really exhausted. And there's a good chance they are exhausted. They're being asked, there's been a lot asked for them. It's a very different, like I think again about how classroom is so different from being home doing home learning all the time.
Okay. Now because these children are receiving, let's say, agendas for schoolwork, whether it's on Google Classroom, assignments, synchronous, asynchronous, from what age do you think it's reasonable for them to monitor their own day? For example, if you're going to sit down at your desk and do your work, from what age would you imagine that they could sit down and follow through on their own as well?
Well, that's a hard one to follow because kids learn differently and I don't know what is being expected of them. I think that's a conversation that the parents need to have. I would think by the age of 9 or 10, kids could do some self-learning and some self-monitoring, but then I can't make that as a blanket statement because each child is different. But I do promote having a conversation and discussing it. And one of the things the parents could try if they're not sure, or if their child isn't ready to do self-monitoring, is to break it up into chunks. So to say, you know, I'm going to step aside and let's see how you do for the first 10 minutes of this activity. And let's test it out a little bit each day until you can work for 30 minutes on your own. So for some kids, you might have to break it up into chunks.
Okay.
But the conversation is the most important part.
Thank you to Ruthie and Avital, who recommended some great resources. And if you've discovered something else great, please feel free to throw it in the chat. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of, let's say you've established schedules, you've mapped it out in the morning, you had the conversation, and then not everybody really wants to follow it. Obviously, you know, this is not a time for punishing or anything like that, but how do you get the little ones back on track when they're veering?
Yeah. So again, this is an exhausting time, but when you talk about the schedule, I think I would build in if when it comes time for us to do something and you're thinking you want to do something else, we will talk about it. I would kind of put that caveat in when you're talking about your daily schedule. If there's something, you know, right now it seems like it's going to be something that's fun, but then when we get to it, maybe you won't feel like doing that, but I'm going to ask you to have to come up with a new idea then. It shouldn't just be that they do nothing. So I would ask them to come up with an idea.
Okay. Now, some children are going to be more challenged than others with staying focused.
Yes.
Online. And even I have a daughter who's 13 and she's quite attentive in class, but she told me she finds she very easily starts to space out when she's really not live with her classmates and her teacher. One parent is just concerned of her child starting to fall behind.
Yes.
So should she be supplementing? He's 8 years old, by the way.
Uh-huh. In some ways, I just want to suggest that everybody relax with this, that it's just the beginning. Everybody has to get used to it. It's going to take time, more time for some than others. As long as a child who has trouble sticking with something is doing some of the work, I think that should be acceptable for now. I think we have to what we're hearing is this is going to go on for months and months. So I think we all have to kind of look at the long picture rather than see each day as so imperatively tense and I just think the long view is important. So if a child is having trouble focusing, let's see if we can figure out how long he or she is able to focus, then take a break. I wouldn't worry so much about falling behind right now. There's so many, who knows what's going on in the kids' heads about what's going on in the world. And I think we have to recognize that.
Okay. Elisheva asked a great question. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit. The kids are home. Maybe people had household help and now they don't. And now this is a wreck.
Right.
How do we get our kids to pitch in and get involved in the tidying up and the cleaning up?
So I actually had written down a whole bunch of things about that. But I think if we think about doing chores at home as well as playing as being learning experiences. So I think things like cooking, helping you cook simple meals or even just preparing breakfast. And if everybody has a role to play, if there are many children in the family, everybody has a role to play, folding laundry, setting the table, dusting, and make it fun, make it like a game almost. But I absolutely think that there is value, a lot of value, and value for the future for kids to get involved in those kind of chores, watering the plants, helping to make the beds, things like that. I definitely think that should be built in into the schedule. So maybe the morning is filled with the online learning and there's a little bit in the afternoon and in between they might do some of these things with you.
I agree. And as we're winding down our time and anyone has any outstanding questions, please throw them in the chat. Andrea, anything we didn't discuss, any thoughts that you have that you want to share that we didn't cover yet?
The big message I've said it a number of times, but the big message I wanted to pass along is everything we do with children is a form of learning and teaching. So I wouldn't worry so much about the specific skills they're supposed to be working on. That will come in time. They need time to adjust to this. But I think things like talking to each other, having conversations, telling stories, sharing experiences, that's all as important as the online learning that they're doing. And I think that as much as we're all tense and very worried about this, that we need to find a way to see this as a blessing in some ways, that you're getting to spend time with your children and getting to really get to know them in a way that maybe you hadn't before. I think there's real value in seeing the good that can come out of this also. As far as specific ideas, I think the main thing is always have a schedule and make the schedules as varied or as diverse or as filled with fun as you can around the work that has to go on. And incorporating children's ideas is very, very important too. I would even do things like play dress up with them or sit down with them and make arts and crafts together or teach children how to knit or crochet. I think there's so much that can be brought to the table beyond the on-learning and to, you know, and to also, wouldn't it be nice if kids realize that doing things by hand is just as much fun as watching a screen? That would be a real gift to all of us as well.
I want to make sure I just throw out a Shana's question to you. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say we go back to the schedules, but sometimes you have a little, two little ones, a very, very little and a medium little.
You're
on different schedules, nap here, nap there.
Yeah.
How do we, and then also get our work done, like what do you do there?
Oh boy.
We're asking you for miracle remedies.
Right. I don't know the ages of the kids that...
This was a 1.5 and a 3.5.
Okay. So if there's a way for the 3.5 to help mommy put the 1.5 down for a nap, that might be, I mean, maybe you've thought about that already, but that might be a way to at least lighten the mom's load a little bit, because the three-year-old could be with her while she's putting the other child down for a nap. I just think that it's tough. That's all I can say. You know, I think maybe, you know, having music while we're putting down the baby for a nap, while we're putting the three-year-old down for a nap and the little baby is with you, not napping at that point, you know, maybe playing some music that's soothing. It's a hard one, let's face it. So many families have so many children, and that's not unusual. It's just that this experience now is so intense and so focused on getting through each day. I don't have a magic one for that one. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much, Angie, and thank you to all of you for participating tonight. We're going to have another session Monday evening. So it's a week from tonight. So we welcome you to join us again then. Everyone might need a little dose of again in a week, and you may have questions that come up. And please feel free to share the link with your friends and your family. The more, the merrier. Okay, we have a very interesting question, and I feel like I don't want to ignore it. Again, Ellie Sheva. I'm just reading it. I want to articulate it properly. Okay. That little boys sometimes get this experience in school of needing to be macho, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're a little bit going to be asking them to tap into certain feelings, being ready to do some things that maybe wouldn't have been cool in school, mm-hmm. right? That the child might enjoy but might have resisted. How do we help them make that shift?
How old is the child?
I'm not sure.
All right. So here's what I would say, you know, just not knowing the child. What I would say
Seven.
Okay. So I would say in school, maybe you don't talk about feelings. And that's, you know, if that's the way that the school is, or that's the way you and your friends get along, where you're, you know, playing swords and you're playing zappers or whatever they're playing. But here in our house, it's important that we talk about our feelings, and because we're going to be together a lot and we need to know how each of us is doing. And this is a tough time right now. I don't think you should shy away from saying that. But I think if a boy is having trouble, recognizing that it's okay to have feelings, I think separating out from school and home might be a way to go.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Andrea.
Sure. And
anybody's interested in joining our e-list, beyond just these resources, but if you'd like to get on the list for our parent webinars, again, just shoot me an email, Sarah, S-A-R-A, @hiddensparks.org, and we will gladly throw you on the list. I'm going to wish everyone a peaceful, as much as possible, peaceful, healthy week. And for those of you who join us next week, we'll see you then. And thank you again so much, Andrea.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking to everybody.
Good night. Thank you.